From Lubbock Community Theater, this is Five Tell Places.
Thank you, Five.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of LCT's Five Till Places. I am Jed.
And I'm Beth.
And we have got guests in with us today. We decided to come sit in to the costume shop and talk to the heads of the costume collective just for the heck of it, just to talk about it, give you an inside view of what goes on over here. So why don't we introduce ourselves?
I am Jillian Johnstone. I also go by Jill. We've covered that before.
We have, yeah.
And brand new to Five Till Places is...
Hi, I'm Lisa Baker.
Yay!
No, astute fans will remember there was an episode back where Lisa was in the background. she wasn't an official guest that week, but we did ask questions and have her speak a little bit. So she was there, but this is your first official appearance
yes,
on the...
my first invite.
Exactly.
I feel special.
So what is it you two do over here? Like, what are your relationships to the costume shop and so on and so forth?
So I do a lot of the conceptualization of our costuming for our shows, and Lisa puts up with my insanity. We try to keep this place as neat as possible. We're going through getting
the look on Beth's face about
it. No, I did nothing. I did nothing.
Yeah, Beth helped us at our last volunteer call, and we have strict instructions to stay neat and tidy, especially the office I occupy. I don't know how that got messy. Anywho, I tend to design the costumes, and obviously with help, and make a mess, and then Lisa fusses at me for the mess, and then other people come in and clean it up, so there's that.
We usually create, like, Pinterest boards, and the other collectives are able to add to those, too, and so we just start throwing things on the Pinterest board, just, you know, like right now we're working on Little Shop, so, you know, things are just getting thrown on there that look like 60s costumes or maybe hairstyles from the 60s, and then we can go back and refer to those, and sometimes I'll be like, Jill, did you see what I put on Pinterest? She's like, nope, let me go look right now, and, you know, the same way with her sometimes. So that helps me a lot because I was very new to costuming. I'm just, 3 years into it now, I guess, and had never done anything like this. And so it has been lots of fun. I'm learning to sew, and I'm going to get to make my first skirt for Guys and Dolls, and I'm super excited about that. Yeah. So that's kind of, you know, Jill has the general conception. Is that the right word?
Yeah, that works.
Good
work, and she, and then we run with it from what Jill has decided.
Yeah, we're gonna look our group, we believe in checks and balances, and you know, everyone that we assemble with our team brings something new and different. And what I've learned in all the time I've been costuming is that one person or two people cannot be responsible for everything. Yeah. That's how you get stagnant costuming. So we're constantly trying to recruit new people, involve different artists, get different points of view. And we kind of, when we're costuming a show, we kind of run it like a think tank where everybody has input, and nobody's idea is better than anybody else's. And we just try to work cohesively.
I imagine burnout would be pretty heavy too if it was just two people.
Right.
I imagine that would set in pretty quick.
Yeah. It could very easily.
And definitely, particularly at a time like now when you've got back to back some heavy costume shows. You're going, you're in the midst of Little Shop of Horrors right now, and you're going to jump immediately into Horizon's production of Guys and Dolls, which I guess you've already started on that as well. You're working on both at the same time.
Yes. The rack in the back is Guys and Dolls, and those racks there are Little Shop. So. Yeah. Yeah, we've been, I always call it costuming in tandem, and they just kind of, everyone's like, oh, here we go, but we try to focus on, you know, different parts of it at a time, and the Guys and Dolls costuming is insane. It's completely different from anything we've ever done before, so we've had
from any presentation of Guys and Dolls that we've seen before,
It's going to be different. It's not going to be like anything you've ever seen before.
Yeah.
These costumes and the makeup and the hair is going to be... It, and it's amazing. And the lighting is going to be really important to how this concept works.
Yeah.
So I think it's, I mean, I'm super excited about it. I think it's going to be fun.
Even the blocking Travis did. Yes. It's going to be, it's all about the costumes and the makeup with the angles that it all creates. It's so weird. It's so cool though. and we've had to figure out how to execute the concept without ruining 30 costumes.
Right.
And that's been a fun challenge.
Yes.
So.
And that's, you know, Dean was even talking the other day about with the build, some of what he will use for Little Shop will come off and immediately go into Guys and Dolls build because he can make that flip around. So that's kind of interesting how he'll be able to, you know, we've got all of this that'll happen with Little Shop, and then you turn around and it's going to look like New York City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's exciting. The kids come in and help us some. We have Horizons kids that come in and help us.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We do a lot.
That was cool.
And they're, Kylan is in Horizons, and he's done some YAG stuff, too. He's actually blinging the tennis shoes for Dorothy for The Wizard of Oz.
He is just a ray of sunshine. Kylan, if you're listening, you are a ray of sunshine.
Yes.
from my perspective.
I always tell people he makes me happy.
Yes, he is, and he's so just ridiculously creative. The things he comes up with, one, they're highly entertaining, but he has some very brilliant ideas.
He does.
As far as theater goes. It always shocks me what he comes up with.
And for our dear listeners, don't labor under any mistake. This is the costume shop and the build shop. These are the places where all of the 90%, I'll say, of the magic that you get to experience in the theater comes from. Because they make a visual representation of whatever that director's idea is. Mm. When we were doing Cinderella, Jill had ordered costumes for me to wear. I was in that show. And one of them did not show up until tech week. Two or three days before it was supposed to open. I put it on. It was much too long and it was too small in the top. She's like, don't worry. I'm going to hack off the bottom, put a panel in the back. And I am not kidding you. 30 minutes later, it was done. And it's to date my favorite costume I've ever worn. And I only got to wear it for 10 minutes.
I loved all of your costumes in that show.
Yeah.
That was not a gateway for me to talk about looking awesome.
No,
you guys make people look awesome. Well,
that's our goal. You know, throughout... We actually talked about this during our meeting, our office meeting. There's a lot of size shaming, and if you're not, you know, this specific, like, 00, or you don't look a specific way, like, that happens a lot in theater, and our goal is to make sure everyone, regardless of your size, your shape, whatever, we want everyone to feel absolutely gorgeous on stage. And that is our primary objective.
As a woman over 40, I felt like I was going to prom.
Oh, I loved
it. It was wonderful.
I loved getting those costumes for you. They were probably some of my favorites that we've ever found. And, oh, they're just gorgeous.
And, you know, that I usually try, like, if they're trying stuff on for us and they'll be like, oh, I love it. I love this dress. It's so pretty. I always ask them, do you feel pretty?
Yeah.
That's, like, one of my main questions is, do you feel pretty? Because... that's our main goal. We don't want to send anyone out without them feeling beautiful on stage, man or woman. We want them to feel beautiful when they're on the stage. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's super important to get their input on how they feel in that costume.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because if they're feeling like they look like a sack of potatoes, they're going to
act like a sack
of potatoes.
Yeah.
You know?
That's always, as an actor, that's one of the highlight, one of the key moments to the whole rehearsal process of the putting things together, is that first time you get your costume. Mm-hmm. Like, trying them on and everything, getting the alterations and everything is one thing, but then when you get the finished costume and you put it on,
costume parade,
it changes your whole mental outlook on the show.
Parade, by the way, I love it. I
can think of that both. I didn't wear anything as elaborate as anything what Beth wore in Cinderella, but for both. For Peter Pan on her 70th birthday, and for Clue,
that yellow suit was outstanding.
Oh my gosh.
I remember putting them on for the first time, and just like, look at me.
You felt pretty.
Yeah.
My favorite, though, was Jed's reaction with his costume for Peter Pan.
Because
he puts it on, he was like,
That was.
We did cut.
Jill and I just went downstairs and it was like, "What is? I think he's a history professor. He's like, what looks like? Yeah. It looks like, oh, we need to find this and let's get this over here." And we're just walking around finding pieces, and every piece I put on was a little bit more there. And then I put on the sweater and the shoes and everything. It was just like, I look like a professor.
Yeah,
I look like a history professor.
You know, you just mentioned the basement. You know, people may not know that we have a basement that mm-hmm. is full of clothes.
Yeah.
So we
full.
Yes, full yes, of clothes. Full, so full. We don't, you know, it's not like, I think people have a misconception sometimes that as costumers, we're sewing every piece of thing that's
forever.
Going on the stage, and you can't do that. We literally go downstairs and we call it pulling.
Yeah.
And we pull things when we're doing Little Shop right now. Jill and I spent 2 hours down there the other day. This looks like a 60s costume. This, we didn't know sizes. We just said, this is 60s, this is 60s, this is 60s. And then we bring it up, and then we start looking at the characters and what they need. Mm-hmm. And then we can alter them however mm-hmm. they need to be altered to fit that that character. But so that to me, like, that's really what I love to do.
You can find a needle in a haystack too. Lisa will go down there and find things. And, we're not using this. And I'm like, where did you find that? And what?
Yeah.
And it always works out really well. In Descendants, there is we had Belle in this yellow dress and she was uncomfortable about her arms. And Lisa comes up with this like tutu thing. And she's like, what about this? And I was, what about for what? And she put it around like this beautiful wrap and it was gorgeous and it matched the dress perfectly. Yeah, Lisa's really good at like, finding these really cool things for people to wear. There is some building that we have to do with a few things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're having to build a lot for guys and dolls. You know, like we ordered some things, we ordered suits, but like a lot of the stuff we're using for that we're having to build.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that shows definitely a special exception on what the costumes are going
to
be.
Audrey 2 has to be built.
And how much, this is my inner interviewer, my inner NPR.
Bring your voice down.
You're right. I'm Terry Gross. I need to get him calmed down.
Right.
How much of Franken dressing do you have to do? Like taking this one apart and I like this bottom, but with this top, and now it's a dress.
I would take the sleeves off of this.
The fabric beside Jetta's dress I murdered yesterday.
Murdering.
Yeah, I that's terrible. I'm like, oh yes, I'm gonna murder this dress, or I'm gonna sacrifice this dress.
Mm-hmm.
We also got a really massive donation. I think we
roughly 900,000 ball gowns.
Yes, that's about
came
right.
In. Yeah.
About $40,000 worth of formal dresses.
Yeah,
and you know they're all the problem is that they're a size 14 and under, which in real people sizes
is about a 10.
Is yeah, a 10 if we're lucky. And so. And we were told, do whatever you want with them. So while we do have some items we can use, we also have some very expensive fabric and enough to make stuff out of it.
That's great.
So there is a lot of Franken dressing.
Yes,
it's a lot. And there's a lot of just stuff that we have to just edit. Our biggest issue is that we don't have a lot of larger size clothing. Mm.
We've had some donations come in lately that help.
Yeah.
So that that we can, you know, alter them to look a certain way. But
well, let's just use this forum. If we were going to ask for a call for size 14 and up clothing, what specific areas do you want? Anything and everything? Do you want formal wear? Do you want, what would be the biggest need?
I think that you could say anything in those sizes.
Okay.
Truly. Because formal wear, definitely formal wear, because that's harder to find sometimes. And
hip formal wear, too. Not just like, oh, my
mother
grandmother.
Of the bride.
Yeah.
No offense to any mothers of the bride.
Right.
The problem with especially plus size clothing is larger items tend to look ugly. It's as if plus size people aren't supposed to have nice, pretty,
right.
fun.
It's getting better.
You're supposed to forget
it
about fashion.
Better. It's getting better. Yeah. As a plus size girl, I found that it is getting easier.
Yes.
To find clothes that are cute, and but that's definitely, you know, we definitely need more, like Jill said, more hip things, younger things. But you know, any kind of formal wear works. Even if it is a mother of the bride, we can take it apart.
Zhuzh it up.
Yes, zhuzh it up. That's a word we use.
And honestly, plus size outerwear, jackets, and not like hoodies, like actual like coats. Those would be great to have too.
Sport coats, that skirts, kind of thing. Blazers,
pants. Yeah, all of that would be great to have. Yeah, I've started dressing like I wanted to when I was a kid because I'm starting to find items I like. Yeah,
okay, yeah, listeners, you heard it here first. Yeah. If you want to donate any of your plus-sized items, 14 and up, please, you'd let us know.
Yes, absolutely. We'll take all of it.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yes.
Another question that I had that was kind of marinating in the back of my head. How much an account do you take the character that the person is playing plus the actor's personality? Do you take both of those things?
Always. Absolutely. Always. Absolutely.
Yeah, we make these little like weird stories for everyone. It always ends up being like a perfect example. Cinderella.
I knew you were gonna tell that story. I was gonna tell it.
Cinderella's dad. We had him in this blue shirt. And when Cinderella meets the prince the first time, we put him in a similar color. And no one else probably caught on to that, but we knew. And we make all these little things up. And
we make stories about why they're wearing what they're wearing, even though no one else will know why they're wearing it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, she's wearing this because her grandmother gave this to her or whatever, you know.
But that level of thought breathes so much life into a show, even if, like, the audience will never know that aspect, but they will see the living show that came from that.
It gives us a little extra excitement in what we're doing. And you know, we're in here and we're tired and we've been working, but the level of excitement, especially as we start seeing things come to fruition, as we've talked about them and they've come in and they've tried them on like you were talking about. And you know, I had some people come in last night to try some stuff on, and Jill wasn't here, and I was like, oh my gosh, that suit fit Josh. He was so excited. He looked in the mirror and he was like, it fits like a glove. And he just became that character immediately from just trying on that one suit. And it looked so good on him. So, you know, it. Now Jill did in her brain think it was brown until we pulled it upstairs. And
I
literally
decided it was brown. I was like, yeah, you're going to try that brown suit? And she was like, it's green. I was like, my brain changed the color while I slept. That's weird.
But it's the 60s, so a green suit's fine.
I do want to make people aware that it's not just clothes that the costume department takes care of. They take care of wigs.
Yes.
We have a whole wig room. They take care of makeup.
Yes.
Which is, for me, very much fun to just go in there and look at all the things.
Great makeup room.
They take care of accessories. If you need a hat, if you need gloves, if you need a hairpiece, if you need jewelry. It's an all-encompassing, not just your clothes.
Yeah, and Lisa is a beast at styling wigs. Oh, my God. Everything she does is so pretty. Our wigs for Little Shopper over there, and the Audrey wig, she did this whole like Bridget Bardot style of it, and I was just like, oh god, I love that so much.
Now, I'm a fan of wigs for regular life. If you can't commit to something, I would be a huge fan of, I'm gonna wear this wig today.
Yes,
I'm gonna be this. I don't even have to be on TV. I'm gonna be this person today.
Yes.
Well, the wigs are fun, and that was something. I mean, I've been a hairdresser for 37 years.
I was going to say in your life outside of this theater, you run a salon.
But I'd never dealt with wigs until Jill brought me in on a show, and it was very wig heavy. And she was like, "You're a hairdresser; you can do this, right?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, absolutely." Sure. I had no idea what I was doing.
Do they melt if you heat style them?
Some of them do.
I'll point out our most viewed TikTok video is the one where you were putting the wig on Mr. Green, and we gave the whole back. This is the process of adjusting a wig.
Cool.
And it was such a transformation for him, which was funny. Everybody thought that he just had cut his hair.
Yeah.
And it was like, nope, it was just, and literally I went in there and looked in the wig closet and went, I think this one will work, and started brushing it. It was perfect.
It looked awesome.
That doesn't always happen. Right. It doesn't always happen like that.
I'm so used to people not necessarily knowing how to properly, you know, treat a wig or wear a wig or style a wig or anything like that. So I'm used to wigs looking like wigs.
Jill taught me so much in such a short period of time when it came to wigs, because I was kind of thrown into that situation and I was like, okay, let's do this. And Jill had done it for so long that she was the one that taught me how to steam a wig with rollers in it, all of that. And I didn't know anything about that. Anything I've learned about costuming has been from Jill. Now, we have had our costumers that have, you know, that have helped along the way. Yeah. But Jill was my mentor that was like,
thank you.
This is how we do it. And then, you know, you tell me something and I run with it. They tell me all the time.
That's where I went too.
What is it that my shirt says? I'm not bossy. I'm just aggressively helpful.
Mine says I'm just aggressive. Yeah. Just aggressive.
So, you know, that's why we're called the collective, because we have some great girls that help us. Well,
and Jay.
I started saying we have Jay too, and Kylan. Yep. But when and we Liam. Brought. When we brought Jay in, Jay was like, he could sew, he can dress make, which is exciting because really we only had Jill that could make something from scratch.
From scratch.
And now we've got Jay too.
Oh my gosh.
And that's exciting.
Jay is so talented too. Let me tell you, that man makes me want to be a better costumer.
Yeah, she said that.
Because a lot of times with costuming, especially for the theater, it's just like, get it done, get it done, get it done, get it done. You know, and he's like, you know, if you take an extra 30 seconds and press these edges, they're going to sew easier. And it's stuff, just stuff like that. And, you know, doing
things.
And he's
such a gentle spirit.
He is so
such a gentle spirit.
Yeah. But doing things the right way, you know, especially when you have time, there's a difference between having to do things in a hurry and having time to do things and construct things properly. Because if we were doing it in a proper way with the amount of time, it'll actually last longer. But Jay makes me want to get back. I used to do cosplay before I moved here. So he makes me want to get back to that, like, nitpicky person who is very, very meticulous. And I'm trying to find a balance, but yeah, he just makes me want to do a better job at every turn.
Nice.
Yeah.
So is he your favorite? Who's your least favorite?
Who's my least favorite in the costume shop? probably my kid.
Good answer.
She's what, two now? She should be helping.
She'll be two in a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I know. She's mm-hmm.
And she's not like sewing anything yet. Like
no, however, she is very into makeup. She's stolen my makeup repeatedly. She knows where concealer goes, like she knows that lipstick goes on the like,
yeah, she told me the day glammy and I looked and she had lipstick all over her. Glammy. Yeah.
Like, oh, put it up. She's probably gonna be really into makeup as she gets older, which is fine. That's gonna be really cool. So I hope that she'll be one of those kids who's into really weird special effects stuff. That would be awesome.
And she'll learn to be a makeup artist.
That sounds kind of like my youngest who
yes.
was...
Yes, absolutely. That's what I was just fixing to say.
She loved, like, Scout is a little more into, I think, makeup, just putting on the way you wear everyday makeup, but still in a very subtle way, whereas Summer mm-hmm. is more into, like...
Summer wants it to be...
Effects and...
Yes.
Over crazy. The top. And I remember when they were in Jill's makeup camp last year, I would get photos from Jill at the end of every day that were, like... Sometimes it would be photos of them in what they learned today, and other days it would be... After we had the lesson and washed off the paint, Summer... painted her whole face red.
She did.
And, yeah.
She did it was, a few times. I did see that.
It was all over. And it was so. Yeah. But,
yeah. And that was in the summer camps, which we're going to have again this
which
summer.
Are coming up real soon. Yeah. Which
Jill's
registration.
Gonna be teaching
nice segue, Lisa.
Good job.
You're a natural.
Registration for summer camps. We've got all through June and July camps for ages 7 to 11 and 12 to 18.
Yep.
And that's going to be, they're going to be makeup and acting and. And we're going to do another film class and teach them podcasting
and
course.
Drawing.
And yes. Beth and I will be teaching illustration cartooning camps. That's going to be, it's going to be all
kinds of
stuff.
And then we'll have our
intensive,
too. And we're also,
yep,
we're also
Horizon intensive.
Shooting for adult classes during the summer as
yeah,
well.
We're going to try
it's
and,
a possibility.
And that's something we've been talking about since camps last year. We're still trying to make that happen.
It's because we offer such cool stuff. You
the
know,
grown-ups want to do it too.
Like podcasting, I'm like, can I audit the
I know,
class? Jill, you have to be, you know, 12 to 18. I can lie; it's fine.
Yeah. Well, so. What you do is come in to say that you're going to be mine and Lance's assistant for that class, and then you.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, I feel like it's a good place to go ahead and wrap up. We can also head over to our TikTok. LC Theater is what we are there. You can see. the aforementioned TikTok where Lisa puts the wig on Daniel for Mr. Green. You can also see a video of Beth in her one of her gowns from Cinderella giving the backstage tour.
Oh, yes, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And you can also see Lauren dancing through our costume storage down in the basement, which is super fun.
Get a view of that basement down there.
It's so crazy.
It's good stuff.
Scary.
Yep. So, yeah, and there's always going to be more stuff there. So, thank you both for being here with us and letting peek into what you do here. Because
thank you for having us.
This is one of the nerve centers of a theater, is a functioning costume shop. And so you guys definitely make that happen for us.
We appreciate y'all.
Yeah, we appreciate you too. It doesn't happen without all of this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, all right, that's a good place. We will sign off. And until next time, thank you for being here. And this has been Five Till Places.
Thank you, Five.
Five Till Places is a production of Lubbock Community Theater. Be sure to follow us on social media for all the latest news and updates surrounding our projects and the goings-on at LCT. Our theme music is Pizza and Video Games by Bonus Points. A link to that artist and their music can be found in the show notes. Look them up, give them some support. Thanks for being with us this week, and as always, thank you for supporting live theater in the Lubbock, Texas area and beyond.